Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you. Father, the Scripture says we are poor and needy people. And outside of your grace, we are poor. But with Jesus, we are wealthy beyond belief. And Lord, there are people in this house today, in this place, that have needs. Not wants, but needs. And I would ask that the God of all provision might meet physical needs, spiritual needs, emotional needs, social needs, financial needs, whatever they are. Scripture says, let our requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. You are the great need meter. And Lord, as we're here today for worship, we think about those that couldn't be here with us today. And we lift them up to you. I pray, Father, for... I know this is a tough day for a lot of folks. I pray for the McNeil family as I head over to the funeral home to do another service, a funeral service today. I lift them up to you and ask that you'd meet their need. And there are folks in this room today who've had to say goodbye to a loved one over the past few weeks. So God, bind up our wounds. Heal our hearts. Thank you for the ministry of the Holy Spirit. You are so awesome. We believe in the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. I believe God has a great word for us today. We're going to start in Proverbs 29:18. But for the rest of the service, we're going to Acts chapter 13, verses 1 through 4. So if you've got a smartphone that has a Bible app on it, or you've got a real Bible, y'all remember those? Turn to Proverbs 29 and verse 18. We'll read that one verse together, and then we'll go from there, okay? Proverbs 29:18. When you find that, if you would stand as you honor God's Word. I know we've been up and down, but man, the Word of God needs to be honored. Amen. Proverbs 29:18. If you're there, well, everybody's standing, so I guess y'all are there, all right? Proverbs 29:18. This is the Word of the Lord for the Lord's people this morning. Where there is no revelation... Now, your translation may say vision there. Where there is no vision, the people cast off restraint. Or the people perish, is the way some translations read. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Father, seal this truth to our hearts today. We need to hear from heaven. God, just hide me behind the cross. We need to hear from you. And you alone this morning. Speak, Lord. Your servants are listening. In Jesus' name I ask it. Amen. All right. Please be seated. We are going to spend the rest of our time in Acts chapter 13. King Solomon was, outside of the Lord Jesus Christ, was the most... He was the wisest person on the planet. wisest man who ever lived outside of Jesus was King Solomon. And I believe one of the wisest statements that he ever made, we just read. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Without vision, an individual will perish. Without vision, an organization or a business will perish. And without vision, a church will perish. We've got to have vision, but not just any kind of vision. We've got to have His vision. His vision and His vision alone. A Baptist state paper asked a few years ago this question as a survey in their paper. And they said, what is the primary task of the church? And the response was all over the place. And you can imagine what a lot of folks might come up with as to what the purpose of the church. But as all of you know, I'm sure, the purpose of the church is to make disciples of all nations. Our mission statement here at Second Mile is reaching people for Christ and teaching people to follow Christ. That's what it means to make disciples. And we are doing that here because that's God's vision. How many of you know Jesus is the one who gives us our marching orders? Jesus is our commanding general. I mean, He is the founder of the church, and He told us to go and make disciples of all nations, everywhere, all the time. That's what we're about. And we're doing that primarily here in this local fellowship through prayer, the proclamation of God's Word, discipleship, evangelism, missions, and ministry, and loving and serving our community. That's our vision strategy to accomplish the mission of the church. And when you accomplish what God's plan, God's purpose, God's vision, where there's vision, there's victory. Can y'all say victory with me? Victory. Can y'all spell it? Where there's vision, there's victory. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. Jesus gave us His vision for the church. And we are to accomplish that vision. And when we accomplish that vision, when we are doing what He put us here to do, there's always victory. Now, there's a church in the New Testament, a little town, a little city called Antioch, that had received God's vision. And I want us to visit this passage of Scripture this morning because I think it will help us see what vision does in a church. Look at your neighbor and say, I can't wait. Now, half of you have just lied in church. But this is great stuff, man. When I began to see this and study it and meditate on it and chew on it, I was blown away. And the first thing, well, look at chapter 13, verse 1. Now, in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon or Simon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Then having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus and on and on and on. First truth that jumped out at me this week was vision stems from prayer. If you want God's vision, who do you need to ask for God's vision? Him. And you do that through prayer. And Bible reading. Prayer has to be a strong emphasis in every church if you are going to understand what God's vision is and be able to accomplish God's vision. I found out that a church that prays together, ooh, y'all got it. The church in Antioch understood this principle. They knew they needed God's plan, God's purpose, God's vision, whatever you want to call that. And to get it, they went to God for it. They prayed. They were a praying church. And they added an edge to their prayers by doing what? Fasting. Now that's the unpardonable word in the Baptist church. Because we think every time you get together, what do you got to do? That's right. But there are seasons in the life of every believer, in the life of every church, when we ought to pray and fast. And you know what fasting does for your prayer life? Man, it gets you zeroed in on the Lord. It helps you to really stay focused all day long in your prayer time and what it is that you're praying. There are a lot of churches right now in Montgomery County that are praying and fasting. Now, you can fast all different kinds of way, but I want to tell you what, the most natural desire we have is to eat. Because if you don't eat, eventually what happens? Right. And so when we give up food in order to pray and seek God's face, that's a sacrifice on our end. And I want to tell you, sacrifice gets the great big heart of God. And He listens. And He hears. And so I want to encourage you, during January, begin to pray and fast for God's vision for your life, for your family, for this church. We know what we're supposed to do, right? And so praying and fasting is going to get us on praying ground. I want us to be a praying church. Let me just let you in on a little secret. Maybe it's not a secret, but there are 12 churches that are coming together and from all different backgrounds and denominations for the purpose of revival. Reviving the church. And every Friday night, Saturday night, and Sunday night in February, one of these 12 churches is going to be hosting a service. Our service that we're doing here is Sunday night, February the 2nd. And all these churches are going to be coming together. But how silly would it be for us to expect for God to send revival and not bathe it in prayer? Thursday night, say that with me. Thursday night, there's going to be a prayer meeting here at 6 o'clock. A lot of the other churches will be here, but we're going to pray specifically for these revival meetings. And I want revival, I just don't want meetings. Because if Montgomery County is going to come to Christ, the church has got to come to Christ. The church has got to be revived. And so when God's people come together, and we've been praying and fasting, we not only understand what His vision is, God blesses and answers. And I want to tell you, I'm looking for God to do something powerful this Thursday night at 6 o'clock. When there's power. How many of y'all remember the prayer meetings we had during the day for the Jesus rally? You remember how powerful those were? I was talking to Sandra earlier this week, and she said, I wish we could do some more of those. I'll tell you, we're going to have some more of those. And one of them is Thursday night. What time? The church at Antioch was praying for God's vision and how to accomplish what God wanted them to do. And so vision always, always stems from prayer. And then there's a second great truth here. Vision starts with leadership. Now, in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers. Barnabas, Simeon, or Simon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. A church will never accomplish its mission unless its leadership paves the way. Everything rises and falls with leadership. Everything. Any organization, any family, everything rises and falls with leadership. And having said that, let me say this. The elders or the leaders at the church in Antioch were all prophets and teachers. In other words, they spoke for God. They taught God's word. They proclaimed God's word. These five men. And they were men who spoke with authority. They were the backbone of the local church. They were the leadership at the church in Antioch. And not only did they see that prayer was significant, they needed to understand that if the church was going to go somewhere, they needed to lead by example. Hello? And I want to just comment on these five leaders at the church. And at first, there's Barnabas. Y'all remember Barnabas? What does his name mean? Son of encouragement. Everybody loved Barnabas. Don't you love an encourager? And Barnabas, the Bible says, was full of the Holy Spirit. He was full of compassion. And he loved helping the poor. And he loved ministering to the saints. And you remember when Paul got saved, when Saul got saved, and he began this ministry, well, it needed to be validated by the leaders at the church in Jerusalem, the apostles. And so Paul went to Jerusalem to speak to Peter and all the other apostles about his ministry. And so they began to question him about the validity of his ministry and his salvation. And do you know who went up with Paul and had Paul's back? Barnabas. Every church needs a Barnabas. Some of y'all need a Barnabas. I can just tell by looking at you. Encouragement. Now, here's the second fellow. This is Simeon or Simon, who was called Niger. This man was from Cyrene. He's probably a black man. And more than likely, this is the guy that picked up the Lord's cross and carried it to Calvary. You remember when the cross, Jesus fell under the load of the cross. He'd been beaten beyond belief. And he couldn't hardly. And this man, Simon, picked up that cross and carried that cross outside of town for the Lord Jesus. You know what? Every church needs a man or a woman whose vision is filled with Christ and Him crucified and will do anything to pick up the cross of Christ and carry it and follow Him. Every church needs a Simon. Needs a leader like that. And then there's another fellow here, Lucius of Cyrene. Now you can find, his name is mentioned in Paul's letter to the Romans. And guess where Lucius is from? Cyrene? Guess where Simon was from? Cyrene. You know what I'm thinking? I'm just reading between the lines here. But I think after Simon carried the cross and witnessed, was an eyewitness to what Jesus went through, I believe he went back to Cyrene and he found a man by the name of Lucius and he said, let me tell you about an old story. And I believe he probably won Lucius to the Lord. I don't know that. But what the scriptures tell us is that this man from Cyrene had been saved and born again, and now he's one of the leaders at the church in Antioch. He was a growing Christian. He was a growing believer. And even leaders need to be growing in their faith. Amen? And so what every church needs growing believers who are moving into leadership. Ooh, I'm looking at some good leaders out here today. And then there's a man by the name of Manaen. Manaen. Now, it says that he had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch. Do y'all remember John the Baptist? That crazy Baptist preacher who wore camel skin and I think he had probably a camel skin sport coat. He ate locusts and wild honey. And this wild Baptist preacher was preaching down on the banks of the Dead Sea. And he was the forerunner to Christ. He was the man that would introduce and bring. He prepared people for the Savior. And Herod the Tetrarch had him beheaded. And do you know Herod's stepbrother? Manaen. Herod took the head of John the Baptist, murdered him. And living under the same roof was his stepbrother Manaen, who wound up coming to faith in Christ and now winds up as a leader at the church in Antioch. Well, you don't ever know what salvation is going to do with somebody. And that's the way it is with salvation in a home. And then, of course, the last leader here mentioned is Saul, who you know, of course, was later named what? Paul, the Apostle Paul. Not a greater Christian in your New Testament than Paul. I mean, started dozens of churches, won hundreds of people to faith in Christ, wrote 16 of your 27 New Testament books, went on 3 fantastic missionary journeys. Not a greater believer in Christian and missionary and preacher than Paul. And so these are your 5 leaders in Antioch. And all 5 of them are fasting and praying for God's vision. Vision stems from prayer, and it starts with leadership. But now I'm getting to some of the meat of the message. Number 3, vision strengthens in service. Look at 2a. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, and then verse 3, then having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. Who did they send away? Barnabas and Saul, or Paul. The word ministry there in verse 2 means spiritual service. And it has the idea of public service conducted at one's own expense. Now, I don't know if somebody ever told you this or not, but I'm going to tell you this morning, ministry costs some things. Ministry costs time, talent, and treasure. Making disciples is not easy. Hey, if it was easy, anybody could do it. But God's called the church to do it. And it's going to cost you some time. It may cost you some friendships. It's going to cost you some money. It's going to cost you a lot of things. But you know what? It's worth it all. Because one of these days, when you step out into eternity, the first face you're going to see is whose? And what do you want to hear from Him? Don't you want to him to be well pleased with you? Oh God, I did my best. I made my mistakes, but I really did try to accomplish what you put me here to do. And you know that. What's he going to say? That's going to be a real encounter, brothers and sisters. And I want you to think with me. We're to make disciples of all nations. You know, there's about 7.5 billion people on the planet. 7.5 billion. 2 billion claim to be Christians. Maybe, maybe not. There's, I think, somewhere around 330 million that live in the United States. Now, 90-something percent of the folks that live in the United States say, I believe in God. But that's something far different than being a follower of Jesus Christ. There's, believe it or not, y'all, there's almost 7 million people that now live in the state of Tennessee. 7 million. And there's over 200,000 that live in Montgomery County. And 160,000 of them are unchurched, probably lost. Do you see the task that's in front of us? But as we go about accomplishing, reaching people for Christ and teaching people to follow Christ, that's our mission. As we go about that, we've got to be willing to do whatever it takes to accomplish the mission. The church at Antioch was willing to give up its 2 greatest leaders, Saul and Barnabas. Sometimes things have to change for the Lord's vision to be accomplished. But don't watch this. Watch this. Do not miss this. I almost missed it. But I'm not going to let y'all miss it. Did you catch that in verse 2? As they. Who is they? the five, ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, "Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Then having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. Did you catch it? As they ministered to the Lord. You see, as we are about God's business and we're about accomplishing His purpose and His plan for Second Mile Church, as we are making disciples, we are ministering to the Lord. Did y'all catch that? We're doing a service for Him. And that strengthens our vision when we minister to the Lord. Real quickly, look at Matthew 25. I just thought about this morning on my drive over here as I was mulling over the message. Matthew 25, listen to verse 34 and following. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, "Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." Did y'all know we've got a kingdom prepared for us? Woo! "For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me." Then the righteous will answer him saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? Or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?" Listen to this. And the king will answer and say to them, "Assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it unto me." When we're out here making disciples, we're doing it for Him and to Him and for Him. When we're over at Summit Heights ministering to those kids, we're doing that for Jesus. When we put $7,100 in the offering plate for the Lottie Moon Christmas offering, we were doing that for Him. Don't you ever forget what we do here. What we're trying to accomplish is His vision and His mission. But we're doing it for Him. We're doing it for Him. We're ministering to Jesus. Everything we do, everything we say, everywhere we go, the Kenwood deal out there, we're not doing that so we'll stay busy. We're doing that for Jesus, to reach people for Christ. That's what this is all about. But you know, we tend to forget who we're doing things for. A couple of years ago, I was putting together a publication for the church, and you know, preachers are like everybody else. We make mistakes, y'all. I left somebody's name off this publication that should have been on it. Oh my goodness. He came up to the office to see me. And he had it. He had this thing that I was publishing for the church and for, it was an evangelism, but I left his name off. And he told me, not once, not twice, but three or four times, "You left my name off of here." And I let him rant and rave for about 5 minutes. And you know, the secretaries are all around the office up in there, and everybody's going, "What's he going to say?" I kept my cool. But finally, after I headed up to here, I looked at him and I said, "Who are you doing this for?" And then he got real quiet. And he hung his head and left. And I said, "Thank you, Jesus. Who are we doing this for?" We're doing it for Him. And here's the great deal. God's not only told us what to do and how to do it, He's given us the resources to do it. And when we're obedient, He blesses us, even though we're trying to bless Him. And then He rewards you. Where are you going to get a deal like that? So vision is strengthened in service. And then the final thing, this is really going to make some of us antsy, but vision specializes in sending. Not sinning, but sending. S-E-E-N-D-I-N-G. Look at verse 4. "So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, And then they went on that mission trip, that first missionary trip. The church was sensitive to the Lord's vision, and it was God's plan for their two pastors, for their two leaders, to become worldwide missionaries. And the church sent Saul and Barnabas on a missionary journey in the power of the Holy Spirit. Woo! And if you've got the power of the Holy Spirit with you, you're going to get it done. The church has got to be ready to do what God wants. We need, second mile, we need to be ready to stay. We need to be ready to go. And we need to be ready to do God's will, as the old hymn says. And I'll guarantee you, I will double dog guarantee you, God's speaking to some of us this morning about being sent. We're going, you know, I mentioned it a minute ago, the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. Last year we gave $5,700 to that. This year it was $7,100. And that every dime of that was sent to our missionaries. And it helped some other missionaries. It helped them to be sent out and to go to foreign fields with the gospel. I'm so thankful for that. You don't do anything any better than helping send missionaries out with the gospel. We're going to need some missionaries to go to Kenwood when we launch. We're going to need some folks to go out in the Kenwood area and to work the community and to serve the community out there and to love the community. We're going to need that. And God's going to lay it on your heart to go and help. Oh, maybe not forever. Maybe just for a few months. I don't know. He may take some of y'all out there and then He calls you to go somewhere else. God judges the church not by the seating capacity, but by the sending capacity. Let me say that one more time. God's not real interested in the seating capacity. He's the one put the chairs in here. And by the way, He's the one that put you in the chair this morning. And it is His will and His divine direction when it's time to send people out. And it is high time the church got outside of the four walls and got out there. Because that's where the work is. We got to keep our feet in the field, our hands on the plow, and our eyes on Jesus, and we'll get it done. Look at your neighbor and say, Clarksville's coming to Christ. Isn't that a wild statement? But I want to tell you, there isn't anything too hard for our God. I said, there's nothing that's impossible with the Lord. Oh, we wish we could get Sarah and Abraham to give a testimony this morning. There's nothing too hard for God. He can do anything. And by the way, when He calls us to do something, He's going to supply every single need to get it done. All He's waiting on is us. It is my prayer in 2020 that Second Mile Church would dream big dreams and pray big prayers and go places that nobody else wants to go, reach people that nobody else wants to reach, but more than anything else, that our vision would be His vision. And His vision involves worship and prayer, godly leadership, everybody serving, and sending missionaries. Isn't that a great plan? That's not my plan, that's His plan. That's what He said. And by God's grace, and by God's mercy and His power, 2020 is going to be an awesome year of victory, because we're going to follow the vision. Let's pray. Lord, I know one thing. I've come to know and love these dear saints, these dear people here. And I know beyond the shadow of a doubt that these folks are here to make a difference. And maybe there's already some people in this room and they're in a struggle. They're not sure exactly what you're telling them to do. I pray you'd make it crystal clear. Because, God, it's not about keeping people here. It's about sending people out to do the work of the ministry for your glory and honor. Oh, Lord Jesus, help us this morning to put first things first, to reprioritize in the beginning of this year in 2020, that our heart might get the things that are on your heart. As we pray, as we plan, as we evangelize, as we do ministry, and as we send people out, that Jesus would be glorified and that we'd put a big smile on His face. And Lord, maybe there's one here this morning that does not know You as Lord and Savior, and today is the day. If you're here this morning and you're lost,
this is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.